welcome to a new fashion episode of the Fashion Grunge Podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Jai.
Yay, Jai's back.
I just come back for this one fashion episode.
I mean, because there's no movie watching involved. It's like straight chat, which a lot of people apparently really like. So this is cool that we get to do this off of your like semi-sabbatical, but we still got to keep your toe in fashion, though.
I know. Well, it's just stuff that you and I talk about on the phone anyway. So it's kind of like, well, we just talk about this when we chat. So we should just record it, you know. So.
Yeah, we should. And it's good that we're doing it now because I was going to do it solo because I was like, I have so many thoughts about what's going on. You already mentioned, I mentioned ID and how I was kind of a little trepidatious in November when Karlie Kloss was going to buy it. So now we have more of an update 3 months later. So I was like, oh, I want to talk about this. And then you were like, when are you going to do it? And I was like, I don't know. I'm going to do it. I don't know. Then we have Alessandra McKelly is now at Valentino. So all these things happen. So I was like, all right, it's kind of perfect that you're like, no, I want to do it. So I was like, good. We have things to talk about now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's a lot going on. But like, okay, so we're not going to do a fashion week recap that we've done in the past because it's just too much for both of us to do. So for this season specifically, there are lots of other places. I'll tell you some other podcasts I've been listening to about it if you want more of like an in-depth. But we'll talk about some things. But the first thing on my mind is ID. So yeah. ID Magazine. So the last we heard was November. Karlie Kloss was going to buy it. But we didn't really know anything after that. And then I believe... I think I want to say like January or February, all of a sudden the ID Magazine website was gone. Mm-hmm. And it's now been replaced with just like a newsletter email, like fill in, you know, like almost like a Substack. So where's the archive? I feel like no one's talking about it. What are your feelings about this since you're more connected to ID being in London and everything?
I think it's really funny when you first told me about it, or we found out the news that she bought, that Karlie Kloss bought it. You were, no, I have a bad feeling about this. This can't be good. And I said, I wanted to be an optimistic. And I said, no, I think that's fine. You know, she has the money and she obviously like cares about this publication that has so much history. I think it's really cool that she's invested in it and like bought it, and maybe, you know, like never in my wildest dreams I thought that she would replace people that would want to rebrand it and basically change it, you know, mm-hmm. for worse, which I believe now that it will be for worse, because we know like that Alistair Mackie might step down. And mm-hmm. then Carlos Nazario as well. Mm-hmm. And these are really freaking amazing people. And I just don't know why you would either fire them, we don't know, or why wouldn't you do whatever you can to keep these people in their positions, even if they want to leave. You know what I mean? Clearly something has gone down, like, as like maybe the direction she wants to take ID in, and they weren't agree. They just weren't okay with it, so they thought maybe they'll leave before, you know,
because this is the job. Like, this is kind of one of the heights, I feel like, of kind of the cultural subculture fashion is being at ID. So it's not like it's a small rung publication that they're moving on to like a bigger one. Like, this and Dazed, I feel like, are the two that really represent the London underground, but still 100%. Mainstream, but like that kind of culture. And like, what else? Why would Alistair leave?
Like, it's so hard for a publication to remain true to their kind of like DNA kind of thing, like, which they have, both of them. Days, and we've seen so many other publications go like more like poppy or like
Nylon
mainstream,
is a big
exactly.
One. Yeah,
or like celebrity kind of base, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And these two publications haven't, and I just I think it's really tragic that it just makes sense. If these two people step down, it means something like terrible is about to happen to the publication, and they just didn't want to be there for it, you know.
I mean, the thing about it is that why? Also, I feel like if she did have the intention that, I don't want to say it's bad intentions, it's just different than what I would do, but if she did have an intention to keep it the same, I would think that after it's announced, if I'm her, after it's announced that I'm bought it, I would kind of make a reassuring statement that I've just kind of bought it in name. Don't worry. Everything's going to remain the same. We still want to keep the same DNA of the brand, blah, blah, blah. But I never read anything that said that she was going to keep it the same. So that's why I was like, uh-oh, that means she could just completely change it.
Yes. And also, well, we know that it's been suffering, like, financially, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I understand sometimes companies, brands, whatever, need to be
Vice specifically. Vice specifically is going bankrupt, I believe.
And it's totally fine, like, to revamp, but to work with, you know, that magazine's, like, history or, like, whatever it is, look, whatever you want to call it, identity, basically. And clearly that isn't happening. The little that we know about her, we now feel that it's probably going to go a completely different direction. You know what I mean?
I mean, an update to that, she also bought Life magazine.
Yes!
Like, that just came out the other day. Isn't that crazy?
So that also tells me, someone who does that without really being, for example, like, she's not like Edward Enninfield or, like, you know, like a creative director, someone, or like a huge photographer. Her background, I mean, she's a model, you know?
Yeah.
So that tells me that probably is like power hunger kind of thing. You know,
like,
what I mean?
Portfolio building.
Like I just want to be known as, like, I own, like, she obviously has money, resources, whatever, but you don't really do it for the love of, like, maintaining these sort of publications alive, I don't think.
It doesn't seem like it.
It doesn't seem like it.
I'm very, I don't know. The thing about ID, though, is that even though I've bought issues in the past, like, it has gone down from being, I think, every month to, like, six times a year, then it was like four times a year. Like, it has gone down because of print magazines not being, you know, selling the way that they used to. But I also had the same feeling, but I'm glad it wasn't really, like, didn't come to pass like I thought it was. I had the same feeling when Vice bought ID in 2012. Like, that already was a massive shock to me.
Yeah.
Because already at the time, Vice was going not the way that I remember. I remember liking Vice.
Vice,
like, I think
cool.
A lot of people don't know that, because Vice is so different now than how it started. But
no, Vice was so cool.
So cool. Like, their magazine was free. It was in all the American apparels. You had, like, fashion shit in there.
Mm-hmm.
You had, like, just really cool articles and stuff. It was just a really, really cool place. And then it slowly got bigger, became,
they,
like, a
news
source.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
it was just nuts.
It became more, like, gossipy, kind of weird, like, yeah, like, their channel was weird, too. Like,
yeah, they had, like, Vice Land. They still do have some cool things. Like, they have some of those, like, we did some of the 90s ones on Patreon. We did, like, Dark Side of the 90s. Like, those things they have are cool, like, culture documentaries. Like, they have, those are kind of cool still. But I already thought that since then, I was like, ugh, this is not going to be good. This is the same way I felt about Nylon. I think when I first read about Nylon getting either, like, partly sold to some capital company, I was like, oh shit, this is the beginning of the end, because now there's a board and they can say, look, we don't care if this person started the magazine, it's not making money. Almost exactly like we're gonna about to segue into fashion houses. You're not making any money. I don't care if everybody loves you. I don't care if, like, everyone thinks you're the shit. You're not selling this magazine. So we need to either revamp, put someone in charge who's gonna put Taylor Swift on the cover of ID, or, like, Ariana Grande or whoever the fuck, that they have fans that are going to buy this magazine. Because that's what Nylon started doing. I have to admit, the first time I really started to feel kind of like I can see this changing was when Avril Lavigne was on the cover of Nylon. Now, I like Avril Lavigne, like, as an artist for what she is. But if you understand the Nylon, quote unquote, archetype, and then you see...
It's not the...
No. Yeah. I remember seeing it in the store, you know, when I went to buy it. And I was like... Avril? I was like, oh shit, oh, it's already happening. And that was probably like 2003, like something like that, or maybe 2004. I mean, still a great magazine, that issue's still great, but I remember seeing, like, oh shit. Then it was like Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie was on the cover, celebrities that really went that way. Yeah. You know,
I hope. Well, I think here. It's gonna go that way with ID too, because it's somehow the way that a lot of publications have managed to make money.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Did people buy into that?
Well, Northwest was in the recent, like, ID has not been my favorite. I'm very, like, selective when ID does stuff now. I don't broadly like it. Like, I used to. Like, Kim Kardashian's been on the cover a lot because she was really relevant. And I'm used to the word past tense because I think they're on the downslope. But she was super relevant at the time that she was, like, with Kanye. And, fashion, it was a whole thing. I know she was on the cover multiple times. I don't remember. I didn't buy them. But I know. I was like, oh, okay. Well, she is, in mm-hmm. the fashion world, I guess. So they would put her. But Northwest, I don't know if she had a cover or if she had a feature. And I was like, this is too much now. Like, this girl's 10.
I know.
What about fashion? Yeah, like, you know?
Well... Yeah, I mean, what really kills me is, like, I understand, like, this person's bought it and they're gonna rebrand it, but do you need to get rid of the archive? Why can't we access that?
Yeah.
Why isn't the website? You could be altering a website, but you don't take down the existing one. People can still view even if you're working on it. Like, that, it makes no sense to me. Now, I'm going to be so upset if she literally doesn't give access to the archive. Like, that's crazy, because you can't erase, like, a history like that.
History.
Like, you can't.
It's insane.
It's just evil.
It really is insane. And for all the writers who have worked so hard to do so many articles, what if you don't have, like, what if I have to get them?
Forget it. Okay, so that is one. But also think about all the imagery, as a photographer, stylist. So you can't, like,
and she should understand that as a model. That's what is crazy, is that you are in this industry. You're not just some, like, business Wall Street person that, you have no tie to the industry. You're just buying it as an asset. You actually understand the importance of the fashion industry, whether or not it's London or publications. I'm really still trying to hold out hope that maybe it won't be as bad as we think. I don't know, but until I see who's replaced and I see the first print issue, which apparently is supposed to come out in the fall, according to Lauren Sherman, who's now, like, my favorite fashion journalist on Puck News. She said that she heard rumblings that it's going to start print again in the fall. So I guess we'll see what that happens, and if we get an announcement on who that new editor-in-chief and new global fashion director, I want to know what the next step is, and we'll see what happens with the website. Also, I feel the same way about Nylon. I also feel this way because I wrote on Twitter, like, how come no one's talking about the ID magazine leaving? Like, I feel like I'm crazy.
People in Reddit are.
Yeah, people in Reddit are, but that's, like, a really small group. Like, why is no one, even the people on Threads, like, no one's talking about, like...
It is really... It's very, like, no one wants to burn any bridges because of... They can see, like, the influence and power that this person could have or...
But that is not against her. That's a genuine question. Where are the archives?
I'm surprised, like, BOF hasn't mentioned it, because if anyone, they tend to be, they're no bias at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like they're pretty, like, on point and honest about whatever is happening in fashion. Susie Bobo, I mean, I think she used to be. I'm not really sure anymore, because that's another person who I never thought would be wearing Balenciaga or raving about the brand. But this past season, I saw so many people that I, like, respected. Being taught all over, like, Balenciaga, naming Debna kind of, like, visionary. And
that's insanity.
Fast, like... forward thinking, and I genuinely don't get it. And I really wonder, like, is it just me and you that don't get it, or
no?
What, like,
there's a few of us. We all have small independent.
Right, but
podcasts.
Are we really missing the point? You think?
I mean, I feel like we might be. I don't think we're. I think missing the point is not it. I feel like we are both really tied into the way it used to be done, and I feel like. We're not really understanding, like, where this gap happened, like, where all of a sudden we went from having these incredible, quote, visionary creative directors of houses to now people making, like, mall you know, mall clothes and calling it Gucci. Like, I could buy everything in that Gucci collection in a mall, like, pretty easily. I don't think that's Gucci. But I feel like we're coming from, like, the way Tom Ford used to do it, the way, what is it, Giannini? Is it Frida Giannini? That was, like, my favorite era. But, like, that, we're seeing how they would do it. That's art. Muccia is, like, the only one out here. Is she, like, the only one out here that's still a designer, really? Oh, Nicholas Gascari, yeah, he's still out here. But, like...
Yeah.
I mean, how many are there that are out here? Like, I mean, Alessandro Michele is a designer. He's probably one of the last, like, new-ish ones.
Raph.
Yeah. He's been around for a minute, though. I mean, how old is he? In his 50s? Probably.
I think so. Yeah, he's younger than Miuccia, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But... She's, like, in her 70s, right? She's, like, early 70s?
She looks great.
Oh, yeah. She looks great. But, yeah.
Italian lifestyle.
I mean, yeah, she's living pretty sweet, I think, after
but it's everything. Like, I recognize, like, it's not even about, like, him all up for change and rebranding and, you know, nothing can stay the way it is forever, all of that, but it is so drastic with Balenciaga, though, the way the brand, and I'm all for change, but to go from, like, really kind of technical, incredibly beautiful made garments to, like, sweatpants and sweatshirts and, like...
You know where it changed?
And, like, tape, wrapped in tape.
Oh, God, and calling, yeah.
Like, forward thinking, like, new luxury. Like, I don't get that. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, I feel really, like, am I the only one that is seeing this for what it is? It's really strange.
I think it's partly, I feel
Kathy
like it's...
Kathy Horan liking it, oh, I mean...
Yeah, that's insanity.
I mean, yeah, she walked the show last season. Yeah. And...
Someone I never thought who could be bought. Like, I remember reading her, she would hate Marc Jacobs. He was always the end of the season. This is, like, 15 years ago, maybe, when I was, like, reading reviews like that. And, like, Women's Wear Daily and shit like that when I was in New York. But she would always, like... She was always the one who was like, he started late, blah, blah, blah. She was always super critical of, like, the golden children of fashion at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, even if everybody loved it, she was always, like, the Anna Wintour of critique. Like, she was going to give you, like, the straight dirt, whether or not you wanted to hear it or not. And then when I saw she liked Balenciaga hasn't been right since Nicholas left. I mean, let's all be real here. I mean, the entire thing has not been the same. I don't understand how... the brand that has so much history and like couture history, I mean, like, we're talking real history, is now what it is. And I think is part due to Virgil and Kanye. Like, when they came into the fashion industry, it really changed, because I think fashion also, when we were kind of in it, it was not democratized at all because we didn't have social media. So it was like, you were kind of an admirer from afar. You had your own opinions. There was no way to, like, voice them really like that. But then now, when you have celebrities and you have what Kanye did for fashion and brought it into, like, a mainstream cultural, where people were dressing like Kanye. Remember when he did that thing with APC, like, years ago?
Yes.
And it was, like, white t-shirts and they were, like, $120. And we were like, why the fuck is anyone buying a plain Hanes, like, Target undershirt for $100 because Kanye's wearing it? He also had APC jeans, too. It was, like, during the beginning of, like, him doing capsules, and then all of a sudden people were dressing like him. He had the Nike shoes, and then it took off. And he owned fashion for, like, the masses. And he really impacted the way that the industry responded to it, because then it became about money. Before, it wasn't about money. They had the people who were rich, who were going to buy the Balenciaga cost, you know, every year. They had Barney's, they had their clients. But then when they realized, oh, wait, we can get these, like, young kids who buy things at a crazy rate, they post about it. People want to know what that is. I want to buy it. Like, I think he just changed. He changed the way that fashion was looked at. And then it just got, like, really different and more streetwear, which is cool.
More streetwear.
But, well, everyone
the
bought into
of streetwear,
it.
Right?
Because that's the thing, the rise of streetwear.
We never in a million years would imagine that LV would be streetwear, would be doing streetwear. Or Balenciaga, for example.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And the thing is, they could create like a, well, see, Demna had Vent Mall, right? Which he doesn't, is that still around? But he doesn't, I think it I asked this before, around, but yeah. I don't know who's doing it now. But like, it, all that stuff, remember like Gosha? Remember when Gosha Rubchinsky was like a thing?
No.
Oh, you don't remember? He was like a Russian streetwear guy that I think worked with Virgil or Kanye. He was in like that world, like in that ecosystem. I don't know. There's also like Pyrex, who Virgil would design for, which was huge in New York, like Hood by Air, which was really big. Like there was a whole like bubbling streetwear thing, but I always thought it just would be another version of fashion. It would never get absorbed into high, quote unquote, high fashion. But it did, because it's made money, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's just like what is popular now. And I also feel like people like Susie Bobble and Gabriella Carifa Johnson and so many stylists that I follow who, for some reason, I never noticed it before. I follow them closely. It's just this is the first season where I see all of them being really supportive of Balenciaga and Demna.
Do you think they're paying them?
I think, well, for sure they are. I mean, for sure they were wearing their stuff and they were seen at the show and whatever. Maybe not paying them, but maybe they decided, well, I don't get it either, but since everyone is on jump on this train, I'm just going to do it too because I don't, it just seems to me like there's no other explanation. Like, why is everyone raving about Balenciaga again? Also, I mean, this is another topic, and we're going to talk about, like, cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also another one. Like, we thought that he might even be leaving because of that huge scandal. But it's insane to me. That happened so much. He did something, like, so insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not him directly, but that campaign that went awfully wrong, and then somehow he's more successful than ever, and he has more support than ever, and it's just really strange.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you think it's a bit weird?
Yeah, I think it's really fucking weird that everyone was so quick to be like, oh my god, no way, we can't do this.
I mean, Kim Kardashian literally stopped being an ambassador. Now she's back.
Yeah, being an ambassador. Back.
You know?
It's nuts. There's like a, there's something too where there's like a, of course everyone knows that I'm still on the fashion spot and I still like to see what people say because basically they're kind of like our peer group because they're around our age. They've been on these websites. I'm looking now, a lot of them since like 2012. So this was like kind of the only message board in fashion where you could talk to other people who were into this stuff in different threads, whatever. So I'm looking now through the Demna threads and people are just like, someone just, their first comment, this was like in December, but still, it was like, when are we going to be released from this? When will we finally get the good news we've been waiting for? When will this man leave Balenciaga? When? And then someone says, hang in there. We all knew I'm still so sorry World Tour would kick off after playing doormat for the executives with the last show. Now it's come on Hollywood, do your thing. But nothing else changes and the consumer is exhausted. Even the Kardashians are trying to dress like Carolyn Bessette these days. And Phoebe is back. Another thing we have to talk about. Phoebe Philo is back. All while Demna keeps hammering on Weirdcore and other 2016 relics. Could be a thing if it was a small label, but hardly seems sustainable and even suicidal for a conglomerate to keep him around. And then someone else said, he's not going anywhere. He's made Balenciaga the most sought after brand in the world. Yeah. And then someone talked about Kathy and they were like, I can't. What is it? Someone said, Kathy Horn's officially Demna's pet. And then she says, Kathy Horn's a walking contradiction. Can't stand her at all.
Yes. I mean, she literally went from like, she showed like so much dislike towards the brand, and then she walked the show, and now she's writing
interviewing him. Yeah, it's him wild.
And then also another designer that we don't really love. Sean, the last McQueen collection.
Yeah, that was my only fashion recap, is that I didn't really want to talk about any other shows, but let's just talk about McQueen. Like, what in the fuck is going on?
again, that's another, am I missing something here? Because
no,
I watched that show in real time and obviously from home. No, I wasn't at the show.
I would be crying if I was at the show. I would literally be sobbing in the corner.
I was horrified. I was thinking maybe it's going to get better. And I actually got the last half of the show was awful. Those neon dresses, those ridiculous sweaters, the tailoring or lack of tailoring. Like, how?
How?
It just seemed to me something that you do in your BA and maybe final collection as a student.
Not even that. It wasn't even cohesive enough to be a final collection.
It wasn't cohesive, no, but
it's like just Project not, Runway wouldn't even turn that shit out.
It didn't feel McQueen at all in any way. There was not even even like a replica or like some kind of inspiration from the actual like archive, in my opinion.
They tried, but it was so bad.
And again, people were, yes, it was definitely people, a lot of people disliked it, but I feel like most publications kind of supported it. And they just said, except, well, Show Studio isn't a publication, but they had a really honest take on the collection and him as a designer, you know, like it's just a tough, at the end of the day, I'm actually not blaming him, you know, because
no,
you can only
be
as good as everyone around like allows you to be. And at the end of the day, Karen, it's not like they told him to make a collection and then we touch base when the collection is done. I'm sure they checked on his progress. I'm sure there were meetings, there were samples made, whatever. So I find it really strange that they wouldn't, that they allow him to go the direction that he went in.
I think they want younger people. I think and maybe they think that maybe they tested or did some kind of focus group, like what do people like now? Because we got to sell things. And I think also they're going to really wear out that skull logo because they know that logos and accessories really sell. So maybe they're going to like amp that up to make it a more like iconic as an icon, like a logo brand, which is insane. And then I sent you that video of someone actually interviewing Lee like years ago, and they were asking him like what will happen like after your house or after like if you move on or decide to not do it, and he was basically like it should just end
it down.
Yeah, like burn it down, like it's not gonna be me. And the fact that I feel like any namesake brand where it's like your first and last name, I feel like is just so personal and so I don't know. It's like, it's part of your identity. Like who, can you imagine Rick Owens saying I'm retiring and I'm putting someone else in. I would literally lose my mind.
Actually,
fucking mind.
He wouldn't. I don't think he's
I don't think. No. Yeah. But I would lose my mind. I mean, McQueen's the same way. There's such a like specific, and even with Sarah Burton being probably the only person who could attempt to bring, you know, keep his name going. She still is not McQueen. Like,
no.
There is still a vast difference between those collections, but we accepted it more because she's an artist.
Right.
And she knows what she's doing.
But also, I think that happens when you're not an independent brand, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, you know, that's another
thing.
You're
part of this conglomerate, like, they're going to, like, whatever makes money, they're going to milk that brand, you know, to the end. Until they can't no longer do it. And, like,
it's sad.
They were never going to end the brand when McQueen died. You know what I mean?
No.
It was so established and it was such a huge, I mean, even though it was fail, I mean, it's not a brand like Armani or anything, but they've still like an archive to work from, you know, and Sarah, obviously.
So that's why it's even more surprising because it's like, you're not coming up with something completely on your own. Like you have an archive and like a DNA of the brand that I would assume there are people that are still there who maybe even worked under him or definitely worked under Sarah. So, like, where was their input? Like, was
their input there too? What you touched on earlier, like, I think they want to do what they did with Balenciaga. Like,
yeah,
that's just a prime example of, like, let's just use the name and the rep and the success of this brand, but let's just revamp it completely because people will still buy into it. And let's just do what the kids want, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is it, I guess. They want to
make really expensive sweatshirts with our logo. And, like,
And even the thing is, the quality, that's another thing we have to get into, is the quality that these pieces are being made with now is nothing compared to the quality it was 20 years ago.
Well, yeah.
Which is even more sad.
That's even when the designers are alive, it's just different now, because big brands like that, they're always going to try to cut costs. Like, you cannot compare, like, let's say, I don't know. Let me think of an old brand. I mean, let's just say, for example, I keep saying Giorgio Armani because that's like, he's been around for so long. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's pretty established. But the quality of his clothes in like the 90s and 80s is just not at all. Like, now, it used to be made in Milan. Made, mm-hmm. Now it's like made in Milan. No, made in India with Italian fabrics.
Yeah, know? So it's not the same. It's mass-produced. Yeah, everything's, like, really mass-produced now.
I don't know who can afford really... I'm trying to think of... I mean, even independent brands are super expensive, too. I mean, Ralph, yeah. Like, a jacket was, like, $5,000 last year.
God. That's, like, insane.
And then it's Phoebe...
Oh yeah, let's talk about Phoebe. Did you read that article that she did? Was it? I scanned some points, but I didn't read the whole thing. But do you have any feelings about her coming back?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because what I'm seeing is like you told me that apparently customers are returning a lot of
that's
items,
what I, mm-hmm.
right? But then at the same time, other people are excited about her return, saying it's incredible that she doesn't have big advertising, like any ads in magazines. She doesn't have big campaigns, she doesn't really use social media, and she still managed to be successful.
Yeah,
but I mean it's definitely quite cool that she's different in that sense, that she doesn't, you're right, you don't see like any ads in magazines. You have like a campaign, but again it's not like you don't see everywhere like other brands, right?
Or no, I think she's probably trying to be the row. She's trying to like, that's basically what she always kind of sort of was doing with
like
Celine.
That.
Yeah.
Was.
So maybe she's trying to do that. But I saw something that was like the real or something that people were like returning stuff or like trying to sell. There was a lot of things that were, you know, kind of like for what they're charging.
Right.
Like 7,000, 8,000 euros for shit. I mean, that's just, even Chanel, all these people are upping their prices. All these like Hermes,
their
all these whatever.
Went up again.
And it's not made any better. Shit's not made any better. So like, what are you paying for?
Right. But I feel like at the end of the day, like you're always going to have people that will be buying into these brands just because of the name.
True.
So Phoebe has a huge following. She just does, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There might be some people returning, but there also be lots of people who still support her, and like the industry backs her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. If you've got the industry backing
you, I feel like what you said was spot on the other day, like or a while ago when we were chatting. You said she waited too long. You know,
Like
there's so many
so.
Brands now that like literally do. She did. Whether you like her or not, like she did something, she had a style, like a unique look. And now that's, I mean, so many other brands did that, you know, and they've become really successful in the time that she's been gone.
Yeah. I mean, that's like kind of the norm, but I guess people who can afford that, it's like that quote, quiet luxury. It's like people who can afford that, just like the row, they're going to buy it and they don't really care. We're thinking about quality, but I think she even said in the article, because the name of the article was like, Phoebe Philo doesn't care what you think.
So she's
very kind of like, fuck off. And then also something that was saying that was like, people were complaining about the prices, and it was like, you're in the wrong tax bracket. I was like, she just called everyone broke. Was anything to say about her fucking quality? And she was clearly, I'm broke, because if I spend $7,000 on a handbag, I'm not expecting it to be the same quality as something that's like $2,000. I'm expecting like handmade, but maybe broke like
that. Oh no, I am expecting, of course. Yeah,
yeah,
I am.
I'm not.
I mean, at least made in Spain. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
I
just
so shocking
nuts.
When I see that like brands charging like so much money and still was made in India or China. Like it's I just can't, you know.
It just, you can, I guess, like, it's all just, it, the way that fashion's produced now is has grown and changed so much from 20 years ago. And even, like, with the creation of, like, fast fashion houses, which we still had, like, quote, sweatshop fashion, like, when we were in high school. It's not like that didn't exist. Like, we did have H&M and, like, Urban and all these places that, like, use that kind of labor. But now it's, like, now we have, like, it's just made so much faster and the waste is just so much more. And we have, like, the Sheins and the Fashion Novas and, like, those kind of brands that are, like, mass producing stuff for, like, $2. And the fabric is, like, flammable and, like, shitty and just... But now people can't afford stuff. It's like there's such a divide, too, between fashion now that it's, like, the haves and the have-nots. It's just grown so much that people are really into fashion, but they can't afford these prices now. But then there's vintage shopping, which is really exploding, and people, like, going on The Real and, like, you know, doing all that, you know, like, trying to find archive pieces. So, I mean...
Even that has become so mainstream that it's kind of sort of put into me.
And oh, yeah, to buy vintage?
Made it really hard to find things.
Because, well, yeah, now, yeah.
Buying secondhand and, like, vintage, it's just so, like, popular now, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's so popular. It's kind of nuts.
Same with furniture and, like, anything that's kind of, like, interior design. I just feel like it's just sad. It's just one look, and then...
Yeah. And speaking of changes, we now know that, well, first of all, we know that Dries is leaving, which I heard was not a surprise because people knew this for a while. They just didn't know when. So Dries Van Noten is leaving his namesake. We don't know who is replacing, right?
I feel, again, that's another terrible move. It should just be it.
I know what I mean? Yeah, his is another, like, amazing brand. It's just not going to be,
again, he just... You can't replace him. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's sad. So that's another one. And then Alessandro has been out from Gucci for like a year and a half, something like that. And I think people were wondering, like, where is he going to go? Some people said Fendi. I heard Fendi being knocked around. Now that we just recently found out that, is it Piccolo? Is that how you say his last name? Leaving Valentino or has left Valentino.
You heard that he was fired, but
That's what I heard via Style Zeitgeist, who's another podcast newsletter that I really read. So if you like, Eugene, who runs it, is more of like he's a fashion journalist. Like, he is in this all the time. So yeah, I didn't know that either. I also think that he said that, I think it was Phoebe, it was like let go from Celine, which I don't think I knew either. I think you said you knew that or something.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I think it was. I'm going to pull it up right now before I say something that's not true. But I'm pretty sure that's what I heard. Because I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Like, okay, cool. Not cool, but I didn't know. But see, that's why I'm really into following what was happening on... Lauren Sherman, because she was on one of his episodes and then she does a thing for Puck and I was like, oh shit, she like knows. And they talk about, like, you know, you mentioned that Gucci was down 20%, like they mentioned
20%, like that's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot McKelly's left.
I'm quite surprised about Valentino, because so people are like, Pier Paolo Piccioli. I think it's Piccioli.
Is it Piccioli? Oh, okay, yeah.
Leaving after 25 years. Yes, 25 years, but he wasn't creative director that long. He was with the brand for 25 years. But I think as a creative director from like 2017 maybe or 2016. So like, yeah, like, I'm not like a huge fan. Like, I can't, it's just one of those brands that I just don't care. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they obviously, I think a lot of brands are just looking for that kind of like revamp, let's make more money. So that's, at the end of the day, so fashion cares about this. This is all, it's always about money.
I have an interesting thing here.
Okay.
This is from Style Zeitgeist, the article from March 28th. It says, notes on Alessandro's Valentino appointment. So this is, I'll link it for people who want to read the whole thing, but this is one thing that Eugene says. He says, The irony, of course, is that McKelly was unceremoniously ousted by Kering, and in essence, McKelly is going back to work for it. It seems that the Golden Boy is not immune to a pot of gold, since the offer to go to Valentino must have been sweetened quite considerably. For its part, Kering is being smart here. Its management quickly learned its lesson after Gucci's sales tanked 20% in the year after his departure. And then also it says Valentino makes sense. It's a Roman house, and McKelly lives and loves Rome. So the brand also has a couture division, you know, so maybe he wants to do
he did make a lot of money for Gucci, so
yeah,
it's a no-brainer. Do you know what I mean?
So he must be doing... I'm curious. I'm very, very curious. This is the next season, so September, I believe, is when we're going to see the first collection from him.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And I feel
also like in fashion, just like in other industries, it's always like a domino effect. Like once there is like a designer leaving a house or someone has been fired or whatever, like it tends to like, for some reason, it gives the idea to other brands to do the same, because it's like, oh, it could be cool to just have a new, you know,
like a shift coming.
Yeah. And, but at the same time, is that really good in the long term? All these changes that keep happening. Like, I don't...
That's because we are used to, like, when we were, quote-unquote students of fashion, when we were, like, in our young 20s and, like, really, like, understanding it and kind of being interested in just more than, like, this is a pretty dress, like, kind of more of the industry. I think we're used to, like, it having so much stability and so many gatekeepers. I think another thing we're realizing is that the gatekeeping is not the same as when we were into it. It was, like, we knew that we were never at that level. Like, we knew that, like, I knew I was not working for, like, Vogue. I wasn't actually going to be the Vogue photographer. Like, I wasn't going to be these things. So I was always on the outside looking in the window. And it was still always, like, this divide with, like, I could go to a fashion show, but I wasn't invited. I was working. I was an intern. Or, like, you know, it was always still, like, that divide. And now, because of social media and because we have all these, like, fashion commentators, which I think are cool because that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah,
that you're getting a real perspective on what we really think, and who cares what we think, but at least we're not telling you what the advertisers are paying us to tell you, because that's why we're writing for this magazine, which we've talked about. That's why you can't get anything honest from anyone, because they're all either being paid by the brands, they're walking for the brands, they're getting free clothes.
They live on those ads. They live on the ads. That relationship, yeah.
So that's what sucks. And Vanessa Friedman, who writes for the New York Times, she's like one of the only people that I really like to read from a mainstream publication now, because she will actually kind of tell you, like, she's like the Kathy Horan of when I was younger. Like, she'll actually tell you, like, what's really going on, and I feel like she's allowed to have a voice. She's really good on, I think it's Twitter. She's also, like, really good on Twitter too. Like, she'll make some kind of statement sometimes, but she's a good follow. But yeah, I mean, it's this is what happens, right? The shakeup. But also,
she was, she's a journalist, but I mean, this is very different because he is not a journalist, and Show Studio is very different. But Nick Knight, also is, I love him. He's obviously like
such an incredible artist,
iconic, established photographer. Yeah, artist in his own right, right? But he found the Show Studio, and I feel like he's still very much, he's still like a reflection of who he is, and he is so there's no bias with him. He would just, you would just get, like, how things are. You know what I mean? He doesn't get sponsored by any brand or anything. So, like, just like they don't. So, yeah, it's really interesting to hear their views on, like, collections or, like, what's happening in the industry and, like, or just in the arts, you know?
Yeah, they have a podcast, like, Show Radio. This is one of their podcasts. They have really cool,
really cool interviews, too. And if you follow his personal, he's also very political.
I love everything about him. And if you want us to have a little fashion chat corner, you know, and sponsor us, we'd be happy to be on.
He's so great.
To be on Show Studio.
And he's also a really grounded, like, person. So.
And give our little, like, Daria and Jane corner. And we'll just be sitting in, like, a little corner and talking about it. It's actually really nuts, too, that... Even this is just a side note that I'm thinking of, because Vanessa wrote an article, I think yesterday or the day before, about what's happening with Diddy. So I won't go too much on what's happening with Diddy, because most people probably know. But Diddy's play on the fashion world is really interesting too. Like Diddy was pretty like, I mean, obviously he had his own line for a while in the 90s, but like he was really into, like, he's been at the Met Gala. Like, he's pretty insulated in fashion as well, almost before Kanye was, because he, like, did something with Kate Moss a long time ago. Like,
oh, yeah, he was, he's been around.
Yeah, he's older, been around forever. So that's really interesting, too. She wrote an article about that, which is kind of nuts. So, yeah, check that out. But she has really good, she's really good, like, investigative, like, you know, articles and reports and stuff, which is really cool. Well, the other thing, so I was listening to Style Zeitgeist. They did a really good recap on the shows if people want to know about what they think about the shows, which is kind of sort of similar to what we think. Like, they're usually both pretty spot on. I think we have similar styles. Not everything. Like
we are quite similar that we tend to be...
the old grumps. Like, in
yes, yeah.
The Muppets in the corner, like, yelling about how everything's annoying. It's
actually quite funny.
It's really funny, but they have similar feelings, and they were talking about the houses, the fashion houses, and the director shakeup. But one interesting thing is that, obviously, they're all white men who are getting shifted around. Mm. And then also, they were saying, like, outside of there being no diversity, in terms of, like, racial diversity, except for, like, you know, Pharrell, like, we have a few, but there are no women. And they were talking about how women have designed some of the greatest collections that they've seen this year. Chloe was, I forgot her name.
Yeah, the new one.
They were like, there's so many great women out there. How come they are not? It's like they keep pulling from the same pool.
Yes.
And just shifting them around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, I wonder that too. Like, why are there no women? When there used to be. There used to be women running shit. You know, Stella McCartney was at Chloe. You know, there were big, I liked Chloe when Stella was running shit over there.
It was really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, yeah, that's another thing to think about, which is kind of crazy.
I mean, the thing is, I hate to say this because I really, I don't want to sound like, I mean, it doesn't matter, but I feel that sadly we still live in this terrible society where women are just not seen equal to mm-hmm. men, and most of these big like fashion labels are within groups, whether it's like
LVMH.
Yeah, LVMH. What is the other one?
Kering.
Kering. Yeah.
Bernard. What is the,
which are all owned by men?
Oh, yeah.
So it goes back to like men tend to want to hire older men. It's just, honestly, it could be as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't understand it. I don't know why. I mean, it's actually quite funny because the guy said that in that podcast mentioned that it tends to be gay men, which is funny, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I'm like, maybe they're all just friends. They're all in like some kind of like group together, and they're like, "Hey, all right, you're shifting over here."
Yeah, fashion is like that. There. It's very much like it's very elitist, like that. Do you know what I mean?
Oh
it's,
yeah, I mean yeah, definitely.
We know so many jobs are given to people just because I like you and you're my friend, and yes, you're talented, but I actually like you and I want to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes before talent, you know.
Or you have influence.
Or influence.
Like, if you have influence, then I'm obviously going to use you, which is just, I mean, that's how it goes, though. I mean, just to think about that, that's not really that crazy to think about, but that's just kind of, like, how it goes.
Just, like, how, the reason why everyone, or, like, the Kardashians have been everyone for the longest time is just, like, influence. And, like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
That's going to generate sales. And even if we didn't really like her, now let's work with her, you know?
You know how I feel about what happened with Alexander Wang. I mean, outside of him, like, allegedly being, like, kind of horrible, but not kind what? Of a horrible, but but as soon as he started, as soon as I started seeing the Kardashians wearing his shit, I was such a Wangster, as they used to call it back in the day when you were, it's like, 2010 or 2020 or 2011. It was, like, I loved everything he was putting out. He was, like, the new guy. He was, like, the Marc Jacobs of the 90s, like, or early 2000s, he was like the new indie sleaze guy, you know, like, but he was still making like grungy, cool shit. And he was really talented. And then once I started seeing the Kardashians wear it, I was like, brand must be slipping. They must need sales.
He was really talented. Yeah.
Yeah. And then now I was like, ew. And now everything I see is like, what the fuck? Well, now he's essentially excommunicated, it seems, from the US because he doesn't even have shows anymore. He has like lookbook shoots. Like, did you see that last one? I was like, oh My God, if you would have told me 10 years ago, I never would have believed you that that was him now.
It's sad. It's really...
Yeah.
He's... Yeah.
I thought he did good at Balenciaga, but they didn't... I think it probably didn't sell. That's probably why he was ousted. Because I was like, ooh, Alexander Wang, like, he's a talented designer. He should be good. I mean, I liked that collection. I think he only had a few collections, right? He wasn't even there that long. I feel like they got rid of him kind of fast.
Well, then, I think, again, it's just sales, right?
Yeah, so. I was going to say it's sales. So I guess he wasn't as influential anymore because it was like 2018 or something like that. It was just like really different.
No, he was at his peak in like what?
20?
Well, no, not his peak, but yet.
11 to like 2015?
Maybe, yeah, 2011, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like something around there. Like, yeah, it was something around there. Or maybe even like 2008, actually. When did he start? He started in 2009. Oh, wow. No, he was big in like 2009 to like 2014, because it says here he was November 12 to July 15 of Balenciaga. It was before that. It must have been like 2009 to like 2014. That was like his big 5 years where he was like New York downtown fashion. You were not cool unless you were like walking for Wang, and at his parties, and like all of his like campaigns were cool. Like Stephen Klein shot a lot of his like campaigns, like. Yeah, it was just, it's really sad. But we don't even have anyone like that now. Like a new one that's like your own brand starting from scratch. Like, you know, I'm trying to think. Who's that influential?
Influential like that, at that level.
That's new. Yeah, that's new. That's like, it's all, yeah, like just talent. He led with his talent. Like if he wasn't that good, he wouldn't have made it that far. I mean, his first collection was great. I think Barney's, another thing, the fact that Barney's is gone, I feel like is something that people don't talk about a lot, that these massive like heritage department stores are disappearing, which used to be like, that was the cutting edge. Like Barney's in New York was really known for buying collections of designers coming out of Parsons and seniors. Mm-hmm. That's why Alexander Wang got to where he was, because I think they bought his like sophomore collection and he like dropped out because Barney's bought your shit. So, and that was like a huge deal. I think Marc Jacobs, I think Barney's might have bought his senior collection too. Mm. Like that's another thing that we really miss. You would kind of look for these stores that no sales and no customers, and they kind of go like, okay, this is what the people want. We're going to give them this shot. So that's another thing we don't have anymore. Which is really sad. Let's see. Another thing I have on my docket is just a general question is, has anyone out there heard where nylon print is happening? I tweeted this. I also looked up who the editor-in-chief was, and I was like, who is this?
Did you message them or DM them or whatever?
Oh, no. That's the old editor. No, I'm talking about the new one. I was looking to see if the new one had said anything like, hey, we're doing a shoot for our new issue. They said April. They literally said April 2024 in their last press release in November. Mm-hmm. So I tweeted about that. No, the old editor-in-chief, Marvin Scott Jarrett, I actually really do want to DM him and figure out if I could, like, interview him somehow. Yeah, because I'm obsessed with nylon, as everybody knows.
Do it.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with nylon. So I would love...
Honestly.
I would love to talk to him and be like, what the fuck? And what the fuck happened? Because I know what happened to that magazine and I want to know what happened, like, from that side. So maybe hopefully you can talk about it. And also, another, magazine alert is that Bjork is on the cover of Vogue Scandinavia.
It's so cool. It's
amazing.
So cool.
Wearing Margiela Couture, which is great. The whole shoot Margiela, is great.
It's literally like, it's so John Galliano. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, cause he's, you know, the designer, but it's not really Margiela. It's what we know. Like the, you know, but again, people don't really talk about that. I mean, Margiela is just really successful.
It's basically Galliano.
But it is Galliano. It's just Galliano all over. It's not really like.
It's like Christian Dior when he was doing like Christian Dior, and it was like Galliano.
It's Galliano. It's Galliano.
Yeah, basically.
It's just, I mean, it's obviously great, but it's just funny because, again, that's another brand that you should have ended. Like, Margiela, you know, because no one could have done.
Yeah, it's very different. It's cool. So it's very different. Cool, but it's different. Yeah, but Galliano again is one of those, you know,
he's
that
part of that, like,
didn't get canceled somehow. He's.
I just don't understand.
It doesn't exist. I think we already kind of figured out that cancel culture is like a thing. It's like a thing that happens right away, and it becomes an overcorrection. And then it,
right.
If you're, I hate to say this, But I feel like cancellation and this like massive uprising of like, we got to cancel this person. If you have talent that cannot be replaced, that no one else has, you're not going to be canceled for long.
It's because like when Kate Moss, with those photos of her doing
drugs. Oh, for God's sake.
And then so many brands ended their contracts with her. And then what happened? She came back even bigger than ever. Yeah. I mean, it's just really funny.
She's Kate Moss. You know? Same with Naomi Campbell. Everyone's been trying to cancel Naomi Campbell for like 20 years for just like throwing phones, being generally horrible to assistants, alleged, proven, whatever. And where the hell is she? Everywhere. Same with Anna Wintour. You think Anna Wintour gives a fuck?
So many shows this season. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, she looks incredible. What the fuck?
She looks amazing. Yeah, like, she does.
It's really crazy. And I sent you and Jules in the group text the other day this video that someone posted of like Lenny Kravitz just like walking through a thrift store. I was like, this man is like a vampire.
I mean, he's literally the epitome of cool.
Like,
I
what the fuck? He looks so good. I was like, this is insanity that this is like, this man's just walking around looking like this. But yeah, everyone go buy that Vogue. I'm going to try to track it down whenever it comes out because the whole shoot is incredible. I think it's online somewhere, but it's really, really cool. Okay, so then we were talking about has fashion really been able to cancel anyone. We talked about Balenciaga. Dolce & Gabbana, another one I thought was going to go by the wayside.
It's insane to me that because they've been, I mean, people, well, no, actually, it's not that they've been trying to cancel them, but they've got away with so much every time, you know, and they're still like as strong as ever. I don't know that I care about the brand at all. Never liked it. It's not really my thing, but they're also still really successful and like profitable, you know?
Yeah, they totally are. Which is kind of wild. And even like Kanye. Like, well, he's coming back.
That to me. But is he though?
I don't know. I feel like if he comes out with something, we wouldn't buy it. But I feel like there are a lot of people that would.
I think we need to wait and see what
he comes out with next.
Because I can't. Sorry, but he's not. I mean,
he's not well.
Those photos of him recently, he looks so unwell. Like, he's totally gone.
He just, like, I don't know. I don't understand it. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe we're just not going to understand it because we're not in that cult of Kanye. I feel very culty. And people who love him. And
like, his music
buy
is
anything.
One thing, his fashion is another. Like, yeah. Sneakers is not really like fashion. I mean, it is, but not
ooh,
really.
Ooh, hot take. You're gonna get canceled for that.
I mean, you
one.
Could. Okay, sorry, but making incredible sneakers or like designing sneakers doesn't mean that you're an amazing designer for clothes. It's just not.
No, yeah, like, that's totally different.
And he did something really well. And that doesn't mean that he's an incredible designer and that it will reflect in like a collection. You know, like
But for him, the thing about Kanye, which is such an enigma about him, is that because people are buying, they're buying his influence. They're buying a piece of him. Like, it's not like I just mentioned about the white shirt and the plain jeans. It really shows that he is like, could sell anything. He can, I mean, and that's what fashion is now. Yeah. Like, that's what it is now. If you can sell something, and basically that's what's happened to these people. That's what happened with Demna. They could probably tell by the numbers, okay, are people actually not going, but oh no, wait, people are still shopping it. Fuck it. They still want it. Keep him in there. Because we don't want to risk a boycott. Like, we don't want to risk, if we do oust Demna from Balenciaga, we know the people that he knows. We know that he's connected to Kanye, and a lot of people buy it because they still think Kanye is in his pocket and everything, or hanging out with him. If we fire him, we risk the brand tanking completely, and we can't get him back after we fire him for what we fired him for. So they probably were like, let's just ride this out. Let's just be kind of quiet. Have him go away for a while. Have him come back out, blah, blah, blah. And then now, you know, enough time has passed that people are back, you know, back at it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's their strategy is like, let's just do this and look at the numbers, which is sad because it used to be really talent based. I thought
it used to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many brands that aren't around anymore because they didn't get absorbed into these conglomerates that, you know, shell out hundreds of millions of dollars to put on these shows. Like, all these shows. Like, think about how expensive, like, that Undercover show was. I don't even know how...
Oh, my gosh.
How the fuck they even... What funding they have. They're independent, though, aren't they? Like, they're not...
Yeah.
So, like, their funding is insane. And I would hope that it was some, like, random cool person that just says, do whatever the fuck you want. I'm just gonna pay for it. Which is what I would do. I was, like, a rich... That's what I would do with ID.
Also, I mean, they're so, like, big in Japan and make a ton of money. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, like, Japan's another... what I do like about Style Zeitgeist is they really cover Japanese fashion and what happens in Japanese Fashion Week, which I don't always know. So I need to go back and look and see what other... It's interesting now to... This is what I was going to do if I did a recap for this season, was I was going to look at the ones that people don't talk about. And try to see what else is out there, which I might do the next season.
I might try
to look at, like, I do like to see the evolution of what's going on. Like, I want to see what Gucci's doing, McQueen's doing, whatever, to see what's going on. But I do kind of want to know about some other ones that we're just missing. And it's because people aren't talking about them as much. But, you know, they're still doing good. There is still good talent out there. It just may not be.
Yeah, they're just like a smaller independent designers, you know.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, I still, like, for me, my favorite designers now, I just love, I'm so, like...
Simone?
Simone and J.W. Anderson.
Oh, so, yeah.
I just feel like, at least we have, in my world, I have them, and that's good enough, you know what I mean?
And Loewe, but, you know, like, the similar, I guess, style.
Yeah,
and
but it's him, isn't
it? It's him,
it's
yeah.
It's literally him.
It's like two for one. Like a two for one, basically.
Yeah,
and Peter Doe
so
actually
cool.
did pretty good. I saw some things from Peter Doe's show and the Helmet show. And I like the campaigns. I also want to, whenever I'll put it on like the list for when you come back, but we should do an episode on like fashion campaigns. Even like past and present, there've been a lot of really great ones. And even like the new Helmet campaign, we didn't mention that we saw originally what was going to happen with McQueen in that campaign that came out like a few months before the show that looked a Tumblr shoot. So I guess we probably could have tried to think then. We were like, is this McHugh or what? Like, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I was like, this
you
is McHugh.
Feel like McHugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what is this? But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Yeah, if there are any cool things that you want us to talk about. I do have another section. I may do this. I do read a lot of... I find a lot of cool creators on TikTok through the Fashion Grunge Library account where I'm just documenting my magazines. So I'm actually... There's not much to say about them, really, audio-wise. So I'm going to make a post on the website and I'll just list these creators so you can, like, look at them and follow them. But there are a lot of really great fashion substacks if people out there want to know.
I took a look at what you had and I thought it's really interesting that you have one granary. I didn't know that you knew them.
Yeah. I actually just bought an old issue from them because I didn't have one. It's a really cool magazine that talks about, like, education and fashion now.
Yeah, it's just funny because I remember when that started. It's crazy. It was, like, this student project. But done by one student who then, I guess, got more people involved. But she's from St. Martin's. She went to St. Martin's. And that just became huge. Even, like, by the time I left London, it was already really established, you know?
Like, it's really cool. Yeah, I've known about them for, like, a year or so. Not that long, but I've
been
starting to see them.
Oh, they've been around for a while.
That's cool. Like,
maybe, like, 9-10 years. What is it now? 23?
24.
24, oh god, yeah, of course, but it's just super cool that it was like a student magazine project that then turned into, not project, but it was a blog, and then it was like a magazine, but it was just for St. Martin's.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just for St. Martin's, and then it became, I'm not sure if London College of Fashion, but definitely Royal Academy of Art.
So cool.
All the best fashion universities.
They're
just
great.
Really smart.
Yeah, they're really great. They're another one if people want to like follow something now that's like unbiased. Like, they're really good. There are a lot of really great creators. I'll list them in a list because there's a ton. There's also Runway Radio, which is a new podcast that I've listened to. It's Alyssa Mosley, who's this creator I found on TikTok, and then Hunter Shires, who's High End Homo, if you follow them on Instagram or wherever. But they have like a funny a good like funny banter going on, but they're like Gen Z, I think. So it's interesting to hear their perspective too, but they're really fun. They just started. So they talked about these like creatives, you know, moving. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of good fashion podcasts out there that only talk fashion. Like, you know, we don't only talk fashion because there's mm-hmm. a lot, but yeah, I mean, there are a lot. There are a lot of really, really good ones out there. So I'll list this on the website so you can like see and follow and do all that fun stuff. But yeah, I mean, Jai, it's been so fun having you back. Of Thank course. You. I'm so it's, glad that we it's could really do this.
Cool to, yeah, I do feel like I'm on a sabbatical, if you can call it that. And not really, because sabbaticals are, you know, for, you know, taking a year off for fun stuff. I wouldn't say that wrong.
Or for professors that like write books fun. And stuff.
But yeah, I mean, changing diapers, feeding.
Oh, but it's cool though.
To sleep, you know.
You're like, you know, you're gonna get back into it. But it's cool that you still managed to. I still managed to talk to you and like send you articles, and I'm just like, here, look at this, like whenever you can, or like listen to this, and you know, yeah, this is no, really it's cool. Great. I mean, yeah,
fashion is always gonna be my first love. Yeah. My baby is my second. I'm kidding, but yeah, you know.
So it's fun. I mean, if anything else happens, I kind of was going to title this like fashion emergency fashion episode because it kind of was. It was like, we have to talk about this now. So if anything crazy comes out, like Demna got fired randomly and, you know, like yeah, some crazy we'll thing happens, it. Then we'll talk about it for like 10 minutes if something nuts happens. Cool. But
yeah,
we're still doing 90s films over here, still on the Patreon, yada, yada. All the links are below. And yeah, we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.